Hallelujah. Good to see you all here. Happy Resurrection Day. Wow. What a tremendous time of just worship this morning. And my heart was just overflowing with praise and gratitude. Not only just because of the worship time that we had together, but this whole week has been it's been different for me. You know, I've lived through a lot of Easters. And sometimes, you know, Easter's, it is a calendar date that happens. Easter happens. We experience it. But this year was a little bit different for me. And I think it was because in my heart, I was just reflecting on the fact that the resurrection is the power of God to transform lives. You see, I can do the church thing. I can show up to church. I can do religious things. I can do good things. I can do noble and honorable things. But they don't necessarily transform my life. In fact, we have been, over the course of the last few months since January, we've been looking at our purpose statement and our vision statement as a church. You know, we've said we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. That is so important to us, that we have that empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Why do we exist? Empowered by the Holy Spirit, Harvest exists to make and build disciples who impact their world for Jesus Christ. And we have a vision that we want to be a people of open arms, healed hearts, and radically transformed lives. And that's what I was thinking on this week. Radically transformed. You see, it's not just good enough to be religious. It's not just enough to do good things or religious things. If all that was in my life is I show up to church and I do good things, that's not enough. Because I know I need my life changed and transformed. And not just transformed, but radically transformed. You see, I can eat too much and keep on eating too much and keep on eating too much, and suddenly my body will be transformed. Not in good ways. But I realized in my own life, and this is part of the Thanksgiving that just welled up inside of me, when I looked at, and when I considered Friday, and we looked at the cross, that he died on the cross for me. But he didn't stop there. He rose again, and that power of the resurrection has transformed my life radically. And some of you can bear witness to that in your own life. There's a radical transformation that takes place because of the power of the living God. The resurrection is so important. In fact, it is part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The resurrection, it happened. And there's evidence of it happening. And, you know, Jesus predicted his death and resurrection in Matthew. And Jesus, after his death and resurrection, he rose again and he made numerous appearances when he was here before his transfiguration. He appeared outside the tomb. He appeared on a road to Emmaus, explaining and teaching about himself and about the Old Testament. He appeared to his disciples after his resurrection multiple times. Scriptures even record that more than 500 people saw Jesus after he rose again. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was trying to perpetuate a hoax, it would be very difficult to get 500 people to collaborate on that hoax. But 500 people saw him. But I think one of the most amazing things that talked about or that proved his resurrection was that his disciples, after Jesus' death, his disciples, you get this sense that they sort of just huddled. They didn't really know. Even though Jesus had explained to them that he was going to die and be risen from the grave, they really didn't get it. And they were huddling together. But after his appearance to them, their whole lives were radically transformed. In fact, they moved out from that point to proclaim the gospel, many of them becoming martyrs themselves, dying, being persecuted because of Jesus Christ. That would have not happened unless they saw the risen Lord, and the power of the resurrection was inside of them. The resurrection is so significant. It proved that Christ was divine and that in his deity he fulfilled the prophecies that were told about the Messiah. The resurrection also proved that Christ had power over sin, over darkness. He had the authority to break the bonds of sin and of possession. All those different things, the chains, he had the power to break them. It revealed Christ's power over death, that Jesus Christ would never, ever die again. And not only that, that we too, even though our earthly bodies may die, but that's not the final chapter of the book that's being written, but that we too will rise again and we will have eternal life because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And then finally, the resurrection was the ultimate defeat of Satan, where from the beginning, after Satan's rebellion, he attempted to destroy the kingdom of God, and he thought he had it won when Jesus died on a cross. But that victory of the cross was proven out in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, that Satan's power, his dominion over us, has been defeated because of the resurrection power. And that we can rejoice about today. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You see, the resurrection is not just good theology. It's not just a story. But it is the power and the assurance and the testimony that brings about transformation in our own lives. His resurrection power living inside of us today, right now, as followers of Jesus Christ. And I want to take a moment. I want to look at a life that was transformed because of Jesus Christ. We'll look at Mary Magdalene. Now, there are many Marys in the Bible. But Mary was always referred to as Mary Magdalene. And why? Well, Magdalene was not her last name. It was just signified the place where she came from. And she's mentioned about 12, 14 times in the Bible, I think, by Mary Magdalene. And whenever we don't know a whole lot about her, but whenever you hear about her, she's heading up the list of women that are following Jesus. There's this group of women that have chosen to follow Jesus. We don't know much about her family situation. We don't know much about her marital status. All we know is that she was one of the women who followed Jesus. And not only did she follow Jesus, she was part of a group of women that actually helped finance Jesus' ministry here on earth. It was really interesting when you think about this story. And so I want us to start. Mary's Magdalene is first introduced to us in Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. And I'm just going to read this. Luke 8, verses 1 through 3. Now it came to pass afterward that he, Jesus, went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12, his disciples, were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's servant, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. So we meet Mary here, and what we learn about Mary in this scripture is that she followed Jesus, but she had been delivered of seven demons. Now, this is very significant because whenever in the Word of God that they put a number down there, there's a reason why that number is there. It's somebody counted how much demonic activity was happening with Mary. There were seven. And seven is also an interesting number because it usually indicates completion or wholeness. So whatever these We don't know what the demonic activity was in her life, but we know it was significant. There were seven of them. And whenever demonic activity is recorded in the Bible, it can be manifested in many different ways. It could be mental issues. It could be cutting of yourself. It could be blind or being mute. There are multiple different ways. All we know about Mary at this point is that there were seven of them, and they completely overwhelmed her life. She was totally consumed. She most likely was shunned by her community. She was probably maybe set aside. We don't know all of that detail. But we know that it was significant. It was significant enough that it was recorded that she had seven demons inside of her. And what's interesting here is that we also know that she was delivered of those seven demons. Jesus had set her free. He had set her free of those seven things. There was radical transformation in Mary's life. Where she was once in bondage, she was set free. She was a woman from that day moment, that moment, she began to follow Christ. She walked with Christ. She followed Christ. She traveled with him and his disciples throughout his ministry. She was there when Jesus was accused. She was there when he was mocked and sentenced to death, when he was beaten before the cross. She was there when he was crucified. She was there when he died and when he was taken off the cross. She was there, and she was there when he was being buried as well. Mary seems to be just an amazing woman. Nothing that I'm aware of was ever written negative about Mary. She never denied Jesus like Peter did. She never betrayed Jesus like Judas did. She never made foolish comments like James and John, you know, like when they went into a city and the city didn't welcome Jesus, and so they just wanted to call down fire from heaven and burn them all up. She never asked for anything like that. She never made a case for herself, trying to even puff herself up, you know, like some of the disciples did when they were arguing, like, who's going to be the greatest? You never see Mary doing that. Mary never cut off anyone's ear in frustration or in fear. She was there through it all. She was there through Jesus' trial, cross, death. She did not hide herself or cowered back. She was there. You always see her sort of out in the front. And even in the cemetery where Jesus was buried, we find Mary after his crucifixion. She was there when he was found to be missing in the tomb. She was the first to see Jesus after he rose from the dead. And she was the first to proclaim the good news that he had arisen from the dead to all the other disciples. In fact, it's really interesting. Here it is, Mary, a woman, being the first to be commissioned by Christ to speak that he was alive. Mary was there. She was a reciprocal of the transforming power of Jesus Christ. Why do I think that? All of these things that we just talked about, her deliverance was so profound that her devotion became so unwavering to Jesus Christ. She was radically transformed. And so we think about that story in the New Testament about Mary and the power of transformation. But do you know that transformation still is taking place today? It's taking place in people even around you. I want you to listen to these testimonies.
Hi, my name is Diaz. I just want to say how great God is, that I was able to hear his voice and be obedient and stop living a worldly life, I'm able to be the man that He's created me to be.
You called me from the grave by name. You called me out of all my shame. I see the old is passed away. The new has come.
My name is Bonnie Murdoch, and Jesus radically set me free from a lifestyle that people tell you you're born into.
Hi, I'm Tariq Boozin. I was lost, looking for pleasures through alcohol and drugs, through many things in this world. And while I was in Seoul, South Korea, God radically transformed my life and my heart.
Now I have resurrection power.
Hello guys, my name is Kelly Prado and I want to let you guys know my testimony. I was in an abusive relationship for 5 years, and when I met Jesus, He radically transformed me, changed me, and I came just radically in love with Him.
Hello, my name is Jennifer, and before I met Jesus, I was wild and reckless, and I was searching for love and acceptance in all the wrong places. And after I met Jesus, I have started to recognize my self-worth. I'm loved by a great family.
Hi, this is David Stone. I was in pain, and Jesus radically healed my body.
Now I have resurrection power. Living on the inside, Jesus, You have given us freedom. No longer bound by sin and darkness. Living in the light of Your goodness. You have given us freedom.
Freedom. Hi, this is Betty. I used to worry about things, but I don't worry anymore because God has taken all of my problems, all of my fears, and no matter what happens, I have joy because I have the victory always.
Hi, my name is Joshua, and for over 20 years, I was caught up in addiction, and the harder I fought, the worse things got. But then the Lord radically transformed me, and I've been walking in complete freedom now for 3.5 years.
My name is Lori Booz, and Jesus radically changed my life. Where I was just self-conscious and full of doubt and lonely, and He just poured out His love on me.
Now I have resurrection power. Living on the inside, and I'm no longer bound by sin.
Hi, my name is Gene. I was in bondage to alcohol, but Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, set me free, and now I'm free indeed.
Rejoice over that. Yeah. It's the same power of the resurrected God who rose from the grave. It's that same power that lives inside of us to bring transformation in our lives. Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation." It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, gospel means good news. It's not just good news. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. It is Him. It is His deity. It is Him as God. It is Him who came and lived among us. It is Him who died on the cross for us to set us free. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes and transforms lives, where we were no longer bound by sin, no longer bound by darkness. It is His power. Christ died for us. The gospel summed up in His deity. He was God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The gospel of Christ in His humanity. That He came here on earth. Why? So that He could have relationship with us. So that He could live among us, so that He could walk with us. It's the gospel of His life and how He lived it here on earth, realizing the bondages that were plaguing people all over the world, understanding the power of sin and understanding the bondages that the enemy would place upon life, understanding what it was to walk in pain and in suffering, understanding what it was to walk in disappointment. It's why He came here on earth. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ in the cross, where He became the sacrifice for us, where the cross became an altar, where He shed His blood. It was His death and the shedding of blood, once and for all, the sacrifice that was required once and for all for us. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it is also the resurrection power of Jesus that rose Him from the grave, that now is life inside of us that changes and transforms us. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the good news. And radical transformation is what the gospel of Jesus is all about. My life is changed and it's transformed because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not just religion. It's not just a good idea. It's not just a good story. It is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ that makes the difference and brings about radical transformation in my life. Let's listen to this song.
Restless generation, we're turning over every stone, hoping to find salvation in a world that's left us cold. So can we get back to the altar, back to the arms of our first love? There's only one way to the Father, and He's calling out to us. To the captive, it looks like freedom. To the orphan, it feels like home. To the skeptic, it might sound crazy to believe in a God who loves. In a world where our hearts are broken and we're lost in the mess we've made, like a blinding light in the dead of night, it's the gospel that makes a way. For our condition, it's the good news for us all. It's greater than religion. It's the power of the cross. So can we get back to the altar, back to the arms of our first love? There's only one way to the Father, and He's calling out to us. To the captive, it looks like freedom. To the orphan, it feels like home. To the skeptic, it might sound crazy to believe in a God who loves. In a world where our hearts are broken, we're lost in the mess we've made. Like a blinding light in the dead of night, it's the gospel that makes a way. gospel that makes a way. It means forgiveness when I know I deserve the fall. It called me out of my darkness and it carried me to the cross. In a moment my eyes were opened. In that moment my heart was changed. Like a blinding light in the dead of night. It's the gospel. Oh, to the captive it looks like freedom. To the orphan it feels like home. To the skeptic it might sound crazy to believe in a God who loves. In a world where our hearts are broken and we're lost in the mess we've made. Like a blinding light in the dead of night. It's the gospel, the gospel.
The gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that transforms our lives. And it begins, just like with Mary, by following Jesus. It's not really that complicated. But it is difficult. When Jesus asks us to follow him, it's a commitment that says, I want my life to radically be changed. It's what happened to Mary. And so in a moment, I'm going to ask some of you to do something that may be extremely difficult and challenging. But you know what's really interesting? When Jesus came on earth, he really did mess things up. Those who follow Jesus Christ made a decision that meant a lot in that culture. It meant that they were sometimes separated from their families. It was a crazy decision to make. But it was a decision that transformed their life because they saw in Jesus Christ something that their hearts longed for. 1st service, just give a testimony. My family and I, over the last 2.5 years, we've been hosting a Chinese foreign exchange student. She came to us 2.5 years ago as an atheist, totally unbelieving. This morning, at this moment in my sermon, when I asked if someone would be bold enough to stand up and say, I want to follow Christ. She stood up. And no doubt, it's going to be a lot of difficult persecution with her family. Unlike us, in this culture, it's really difficult for someone to make a decision for Christ from that culture. And so this sermon has been very simple. Basically, Jesus, he came, he lived among you, among us, he died for our sins to set us free. He desires to bring radical transformation in your life. Transformation in your life begins with accepting him and saying, I want to follow him. And so I'm going to ask you, like I ask first service, to do something very bold. If you have never made the decision to follow Christ, or if you have and it was years ago and you're no longer have been following him, today is the day. If you want your life to be radically transformed, it begins with following him. And so I'm going to ask you, if that is you today, I want you to be bold enough to say, it's me, this Easter Sunday, I'm going to do it. I want my life to be radically transformed. And I'm willing to take the bold step of standing and saying, I'm following him. If that's you, I want you to stand up right now. Be bold. You'll have a whole congregation that will rejoice with you. But this is a choice that you make, like my daughter did a couple hours ago. So is there anyone? I want to end our time and I want to go back to the story of Mary. And I'm going to read the story that began in John chapter 20. Now, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. I want you to put yourself in the place of Mary. Who had been following Jesus. Who had been delivered from 7 demons. Who had gave everything to follow her master. Put yourself in the place of Mary at this moment when she, like the other disciples, didn't fully understand what was taking place. She had seen Jesus being betrayed, being scourged, being crucified, and dying, and it didn't make sense to her. And now she's going back to the tomb and she sees the stone is rolled away. What's happened here? Does this week ever end? Just one heartache after another. And when she saw that, she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, He saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came into the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not know the scripture that he, Jesus, must rise again from the dead. Really interesting. He walked into the tomb and he believed. What did he believe? He probably believed that someone has stolen the body of Jesus. Then those disciples went away again into their own homes. But Mary stood outside of the tomb weeping. Again, place yourself in the position of Mary. Here, all the heartache and everything that she had experienced through the week. She had followed Jesus, and now she's once again alone. The disciples left her there. There wasn't a, come on, Mary, let's walk together. I know this is sad and this is hard. Let's work on this together. No, they left her. They went to her home, and she was left out in front of the tomb, weeping and crying. And as she wept, Mary, she stooped down and she looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels sitting there. Two angels in white, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. I thought it was real interesting. The disciples didn't see anything except the cloth. Mary saw two angels sitting there, but I don't think she really got it, what was happening there. It's also interesting that those angels, one was at the head, one was at the feet, and it reminded me back in the Old Testament where the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament held the presence of God. There was an angel, the cherubims, one at the head, one at the left and one at the right. And here you find angels at the place where Jesus had been lying, one at the head, one at the feet. But signifying that just as the Ark of the Covenant no longer held the presence of God, now Jesus, the presence of God, was no longer held by an earthly body. But she still, I don't think, really understood. The angel said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" It's kind of a silly question if you think about it. Why are you crying? And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now, the next verse is probably the greatest reveal in history. Now, when Mary had said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there and did not know it was Jesus. Still didn't understand, still didn't comprehend, perhaps just so overwhelmed by grief and anguish and just the perplexity of, what am I going to do now? I followed Jesus, and now all I see is an empty tomb. Where is he? Where is Jesus? And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she, supposing him to be a gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you had carried him away, let me know where you have laid him, and I will come and take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which means teacher. She finally saw him. And Jesus said to her, "Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came, and she told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. And so, as we close today, I want you to once again to put yourself in the place of Mary. There's times in our lives when we just don't get it, that the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is standing right beside us. And we look into an empty tomb. We look into darkness. We look into disappointments. We look into frustration. We see that because we don't get the clues around us that he is alive. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ is the one that calls first your name. He's calling your name. And when he does that, see, Mary had two radical transformations in her life that we know of. First was when she was delivered from her torment and began to follow Christ. The second was in her anguish and her looking into an empty tomb. Jesus Christ was revealed to her, and everything changed at that moment. Jesus desires this Easter to reveal himself to you. He's calling out your name. In the darkness that you see, in the trouble that's around you, in the disappointment that you may have walked through and are feeling like you're in the midst of, like Mary, can this week ever get worse? He's calling out your name. It is the resurrection of the power, resurrection power of Jesus Christ that changes everything. So, Father, I'm asking right now that you begin to call out the names of people in this room. Father, where all they have seen is trouble and darkness, when they've seen emptiness and death. Father, when all hope has seemed to be gone and vanquished. Father, I'm asking now that you call out their name and that the resurrection power of Jesus Christ would come into their hearts and their lives and radically transform them. Thank you, Lord, for that resurrection power. Thank you for that transforming power. And even now, Holy Spirit, come. Transform us. Turn our darkness into light. Bring life where there seemingly was only death. Call out our name. Reveal yourself to us today. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you stand? We're going to end our moments here today with declaring the song that we heard in the testimony time and making that our anthem this morning.
You called me from the grave by name. You called me out of all my shame. I see the old is passed away. The new has come. Now
yes, the freedom. God has given you freedom. Now go. Be who God has called you to be. Bearers of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ to the world around you. You and I live in a world that is hungry for this resurrection power that lives inside of us. Now go. Be who Christ has created you to be. Be free indeed. Amen? Amen. Amen.